On the Riabu podcast, we turn our attention once again to the construction industry, this time in Malaysia. The focus is a government project which aims to put people with low incomes into low-cost housing. The project is called Rumah Mesra Rakyat Satu Malaysia, or RMR1M for short. And it seems that while there has been a little bit of a lag in getting those houses built for people between 750 ringgit in monthly income and only about 2,000 ringgit, very small amounts, there are some concerns about where the money has gone in terms of the contractors. The president of the Malaysian Chinese Association, Datuk Seri Dr. Wee Kah Siong, was saying in Parliament just recently that 920 contractors have yet to receive their payments from the government for these RMR1M projects. 920 of them who are missing money of funds of around 52 million ringgit. So, where has the money gone? Especially seeing that the government says that it has already paid. And if, of course, the great irony, Simon Littlewood, is that these low-cost houses are designed to put people who can't afford them into housing, and at the same time, they're impoverishing the very contractors who are building them.
Yes, I was thinking that through. Actually, that threshold for entitlement to one of these houses is the equivalent of about 400 Singapore dollars a month, which is a tiny level of income. You know, that's something like a quarter of the average Singapore household income.
Yes.
So yes, these houses are built with good intent for poor people in Malaysia. The money is allocated, but the money doesn't get to contractors. And the number you mentioned is 920. That's a lot of contractors. That
yes.
tells you something about the nature of the building industry, which as you get towards the sharp end, gets more and more and more fragmented. So you have a head contractor, you have subcontractors, and then you have a lot of one-man shops, in essence.
Yes.
And it's they who have not been paid.
Yes, very substantial amounts of money. The construction industry is anyway generally afflicted with this problem.
It's afflicted with being overly complex, not particularly disciplined. You know, the one-man band who happens to swing a hammer or whatever he does, and I mentioned years ago, I did that in the States when I was a student, you know, is not particularly expert at things like sending invoices and collecting money and running his bank account.
They're good at swinging hammers.
He turns up and he does his job, which will be a physical job, you know, with a relatively low level of expertise, and he expects to be paid, in most cases, in cash. Obviously, in this case, they have not been paid, and that's very sad for them. It's also a bit of a catastrophe, given that slightly more than half of the houses that were supposed to have been built had actually been built as at the end of 2017. So
yes.
The work's not getting done. The contractors are not getting paid.
Yes. So we'll leave that question as to where the money has gone. But quite frankly, in the meantime, every country has the issue where there are so many degrees of separation between, in this case, the government as the financier of the housing, it could be a private developer too, and the guy who swings the hammer, to use your phrase. Is it really possible to kind of change the whole system so that people get paid directly from the financier?
Well, I mean, the first thing to say is that if you're dealing with a government-related project, you know, irrespective of whether you're a guy that's swinging a hammer or whether you're, say, a pharmaceutical supplier to state-owned hospitals, the fact of the matter is that the flow of public money to its suppliers in many countries is extremely uneven because it's based on when the governments typically collect their revenues. So there'll be many governments have a tax year, and at the end of that tax year, a very large amount of money comes into their bank account, and they then settle a lot of bills, some of which are very, very, very old. Mm. So we therefore see, for example, that if you have a lot of public hospitals, even in countries like Australia, you can get very, very long payment delays because the public sector, the government, simply doesn't have the money to pay the bills. In this particular case, what makes this particularly uncomfortable to talk about is the fact that you're dealing with relatively poorly off people who are eking a living and who are not getting paid at all, probably for very many months. So that's obviously a concern.
Right. But it brings me back to my question. How can that system be addressed? How can that system be changed? Is it realistic to expect all of a sudden the government to say, you know what, we'll pay the guy who swings the hammer directly rather than having to make him, wait for the money to filter down from one company to the next company to the next company and finally?
Well, I think that's a very good question, but part of the answer to this, and it's equally true in Brexit Britain as it is in Malaysia, which is that politicians are primarily about ensuring that they get elected, and they tend to make financial promises to ensure that they do get elected and they maintain their popularity, irrespective of what the financial realities are. In other words, the money will be found, but when it will be found, who knows? So, in the private sector, if you're running your own company, you have to do cash planning, because if you run out of cash, you don't have 3 million taxpayers who at some point are going to have to fork out their money so that you can replenish your bank account. At the end of the day, you have a finite level of income and you have a finite level of expenditure, and you have to marry the two together and plan effectively. So I think that some governments are better than others at planning. You know, governments in Southeast Asia that are also democratic governments, and there's been quite a lot of democratic upsets in Malaysia recently, where you've seen one regime change that had been around for a very long time change to another regime.
50 years, yeah.
Yeah. Then you know, you don't get good planning. You get decisions made at short notice, and government departments regularly run out of money.
Right. So, third attempt at getting you to nail this answer. What can you do?
I don't have an answer, because the fact of the matter is that if you are working for a supplier who doesn't have the money to pay you, and if you are a one-man band and you do not have access to borrowing, you're in a tricky spot.
Yes.
Period. You can get some microfinance, but that will just put you in debt, and interest rates in Malaysia are very high.
Yeah. So, you know, often people think, oh, well, it's a government contract. You know, it's safe as houses, if you'll excuse the pun. Does that mean that maybe you should be a bit more circumspect? Rather than just rushing to the government project because it's a government project, you might say, the private sector might actually pay me faster.
Well, of course, this assumes that one has that opportunity, because at the end of the day, there might be a job creation element in this. You know, Malaysia is a very orderly society, and there's great concern to ensure that everybody is employed and has a way of earning a living. So government contracts, in a positive sense, are used to create employment and help people, which is fine. The problem is that the promises often exceed the quality of the actual management, particularly from a financial perspective. So if you do go down that road and you do work for a government-related entity, then you are significantly increasing the probability that you're going to have a problem collecting your money at the end of
yes.
the day.
So build those relationships, I guess, is the same thing as
well,
before.
If you can, if you have the opportunity, spread the risk by doing some work for the private sector as well, you know. But, of course, not everyone may have that opportunity. Yeah.
We will look forward to your comments in the commentary box next to the podcast. Please let us know. If you're the guy swinging the hammer in Malaysia, swing by and leave us a comment. We'd be happy to hear from you.